Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Magician Nelson Lugo.
Hi, I'm nerdcore rapper Shafer the Dark Lord.
We're best friends
who hate each other's guts.
And we co-host The Epic Podcast,
a monthly show in which we discuss comic books,
video games,
television,
movies,
our debilitating emotional problems,
and Batman.
So much Batman.
That's The Epic Podcast
on the Nerdy Show Podcast Network.
Be safe, internets.
Bye. Seriously, so much Batman.
Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Flame On. This is Brian. I'm here with, oh my God, everybody. This is the fullest cast we've had in months and months, but I'm so happy you're all here.
For a microsode.
Not even for a full cast episode.
Let's pretend it's a full cast. So going, we got clockwise around the corner here. We got BJ.
Yo.
Oral.
Hello.
Jeff.
Hi.
Eric.
Howdy.
And Pat.
What up?
And we are here gathered today in our fullest form. To talk
Colonizer,
about...
don't you dare. We are here to talk about the glory that is and forever shall be Black Panther.
Wakanda forever. Wakanda forever. No, that's the Chibari.
Yeah, I know.
They are part of Wakanda's glory.
Now, you,
first of all,
M'Baku was not cool with it at the beginning.
No, they are part of the original five tribes.
Sure.
Get it right. And they have more claim to Wakanda than you do.
They're like the Brooklyn of Wakanda.
Like, I never.
I know it's the Bronx.
They're like, oh,
the
Bronx. Yeah, I was going to say, they're more like the staunch, like, traditional sort of thing.
I don't know, they're hot. Let's talk about it.
They are hot as fuck.
Yeah, there was a whole chain of M'Baku thirsty references.
I want everyone to know we are gathered here today wearing our finest geeky apparel. However, Oral, summoning, I don't know if you, did we talk about this? You are wearing such a delightful outfit. Is that the tashiki that you wore?
It's a dashiki.
It's dashiki.
Did
you wore to the premiere?
Yes.
It's a tashiki.
It well, the thing is that I've always worn like dashikis through my life, especially because there was a time where my mother wanted us, well, our great aunts wanted us to learn about Kwanzaa. It's not my first time. I can trace my mother's side of the family for the most part to Barbados. At around like 1880, 1890. After that, we just automatically know how we got there.
sip of the tea.
Big drink it. Please be careful not to spill it.
Mm. But, so dashikis are nothing new to me. I purposely got this literally in June because I had outgrown all my other ones. And I wore this to Black Panther and saw it at the whitest theater I could, so I could look people in the eye as I walked through. And that would happen to be the Winter Park Village.
I was going to say, it had to be Winter Park. Because when we went and saw it downtown at the Plaza Theater, there a lot of people were dressed up in really cool things.
Oh, yeah.
Dashikis. Like,
Dashikis.
Sorry, Dashikis. Like, different Black Panther t-shirts. I mean, there was, oh, God, there was a really good slogan, and I forgot, completely forgotten. But still, it was so well received. We were very happy to have that audience.
Yeah. I saw it in Waterford on opening weekend on Saturday, and a good mix. Not as many dashikis. I saw like the 410 showing on the Saturday. But as I was coming out, like the massive amount of people going in for like the early evening starting showings, there was a lot more colorful presence of clothing, whereas before it was just kind of very,
that sounds
very bland.
Vaguely racist.
Hey, considering
I'm gonna need you. I know that's your brother in you, but
wow,
I'm gonna need you to try to keep it together.
I have you know, Jeff basically just said that Get Out meme where he's like, I have you know, I saw Black Panther opening weekend. Have you seen that going on?
Not really, because I also saw it yesterday.
Oh,
so I've seen it twice, and a second time I saw it at the Winter Park Village
meme part two now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I will turn this over to Oral and BJ because y'all had a different experience than
an
I did.
An organic understanding of this movie in depths of levels that we will try to convey, but many of you will not understand.
And hashtag Killmonger wasn't technically wrong.
The man had salient points.
Not gonna lie.
Salient points.
Let's back up and just talk broad strokes first. Because some people, I don't know why, may not even know who Black Panther is. Oral, can you tell us from your perspective as a comic book auteur and heavily researched
aficionado, if you will?
Purveyor, I would even say.
Thank you.
Of Black Panther. What would you say
sounds
in a
slightly
nutshell?
Perverse. So Black Panther is a character that was created decades ago in that blaxploitation kind of like vein. He is the king of a fictional world called Wakanda, and why Wakanda is important is that it's in Africa and it has never been colonized. It has never been conquered. And they have this amazing resource called vibranium, which is the most indestructible metal on the planet. It came from a meteorite?
Yeah, meteorite.
Meteorite that crashed to Earth, you know, thousands of years ago. It can absorb any vibration, any impact. It is versatile in so many ways, and it's allowed them to progress to become the most technologically advanced nation on the planet. But because what we learned in this election, white people gonna wait, they've been really standoffish and very isolationist because they know that their resources are their own. And when you look to the left and the right of your neighbors, you see that Africa got plundered during the imperialist phase of the Industrial Revolution and then some. And so they have stayed autonomous. They have achieved great feats, but they're not really the most approachable people.
They're hidden. I mean, they hide themselves in plain sight. Yeah.
Kind of like the idea of fictional idea of Atlantis.
Or El Dorado.
El Dorado, like amazing technology, but hidden away because they know that the world is kind of terrible. So they're just not even going to risk that.
And so what you have in this setup, in this new masterpiece that is a cultural touchstone and moment, you have the first depictions of Wakanda and all of this society that has risen without external influences, and how they now have this external threat, which we find out later is internal, and how Wakanda must stand, but Wakanda must change. And I will tell you flat out, I cried during this movie. I cried seeing daily life in Wakanda, whether, and I've said this multiple times, whether you were in the pastures, you know, herding like cattle, whether you were, you know, walking to an important meeting, selling food in a like a vendor stall.
The food cart, the food cart part is like really got to me for some reason. Probably because I'm fat.
Seeing a depiction of pride. There's this overwhelming sense of pride that exudes. It's like the antithesis. It's an aura. And And it's so hard to remember the last time I've seen that. And I'm not saying that I haven't. It's just, it's so few far and in between, because usually when people are black people or people of color are depicted, they're either, you know, gangbangers or barely making ends meet. Like, even the outsiders, which, you know, we'll get into the Jabari clan. When you go to, you know, their stronghold, yeah, they live in a very rocked and unforgiving place, but they are doing very well. And I felt at peace and serene in M'Baku's presence.
His throne room.
I felt a lot of things in his presence.
Viva's throne room was very, very nice.
It was all centered around his legs area, and I was okay with that.
Yeah. So let's go around the room, starting with the most important people for this podcast. BJ, what were your first initial thoughts after you had watched Black Panther?
So I'm about to emotionally dump some nonsense on people. My mother is like African, and my dad is like as black as midnight. So I look very ambiguous as far as race goes.
Mm-hmm.
So watching this movie and like when they showed Wakanda, I was like, oh man, that's pretty fucking awesome. And then when they dropped the bombshell about Killmonger and how he kind of was abandoned by his own people, that pretty much sums up high school for me and the bitterness I felt. So Killmonger is probably the most identifiable villain for me.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, the whole movie, I'm like, yeah, I don't disagree with any of his motivations. He is not wrong at all. Like, it's just one of those things where, like, I could see everything from his point of view 100% clear. Like, there was I had no questions about his motivation, and it was very rare to see kind of that whole idea of, like, you have this culture that's just, like, we protect our own, we're together, and then you have that one mistake, that one blemish that comes back and just fucks your shit up. But I love the response of T'Challa. That was, like, the whole time, he's like, he was furious, he was angry, he was like, this is not our culture. This is not how things are supposed to be. And that whole plot line of the movie just, I mean, it was masterful. It was art. That was art.
He's part of the broken line. He was taken from this culture and this heritage that he'd only heard about but never got to experience. And to find out that, you know, through no fault of his own, that part of that is ripped from him, it's post-colonialism. Like, you know, once the colonizers make it, regardless of what happens, even if you grant, like, you fight for your independence, there's never a going back home. Home doesn't actually exist for Eric. And even when he ascends to the ultimate, like, seat of power, he doesn't fit. He doesn't fit. And it's heartbreaking because you can see this is what he's always dreamed of. Not ever, ever okaying genocide. You never go for the women and children.
No.
You never go for the women and children. But to see that he doesn't fit because he can't go home. Home is that what he knew in, let's be real, the projects in a high rise with his dad. You know, seeing people getting gunned down. Like, he's been raised in this very brutal sort of world where he's developed this us or them mentality because that is how he survived. And seeing that in a setting where that doesn't have to be the case anymore and how he can't acclimate is his ultimate flaw. And that flaw necessarily isn't innate. He is a product of his environment. He is a product of his upbringing and the lack thereof, and what happens when you are literally a dream deferred. Because at the end, where you have that moment where you don't have a resolution because there is no resolution, there are just only more questions that you have to bring up. He sees, wow, like, this is, like, my father was right. Like, Wakanda is the most gorgeous place on the planet, And the kingdom was so lost to him. Mm-hmm. Jeff, you've seen it twice.
I have.
And?
I loved it both times.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited about it going in just because I know Ryan Coogler. I was a big fan of Fruitvale Station and Creed. Big fan of Michael B. Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that he was robbed in his chances, Johnny Storm. I think that could have, if done better, changed.
Funny enough, he is also the other actor in the MCU that has played
Johnny Storm.
Johnny Storm.
Yeah, besides Chris Mr. Evans. Chris Evans. Yeah.
You have that meme where it says, where it's a picture of Chris Evans and Michael B. Jordan. It says, 2 out of 2 human torches have been redeemed.
Yeah.
And he also voiced Cyborg in the Flashpoint animated film.
Really? I didn't know.
He did. He's done a whole bunch of sports video games, too.
Yeah, and he was also on Friday Night Lights way back when, TV show. He's a giant anime fan. He turned in an amazing performance. He talked about like his research to get in the mindset of Killmonger. He basically cut himself off from like any kind of social contact and made himself isolated for like 7 months leading up to it, just to get in the mindset of somebody like you said, Oral, who has no home and is angry at everything that's been denied to him simply by no fault of his own, just because of who he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. That being said, I loved the visuals of the movie, the performances, especially from, I can't remember his name, but he was in Get Out, and he plays one of the leaders of one of the five tribes.
Dekai?
Yes.
Yeah.
He,
that was Daniel Kaluuya.
He turned in like that impossible fine line of being, you know, his heart's in the right place because he has his parents killed by Claw. And he has this vendetta in his heart, and Killmonger was the first one in his mind to actually pay attention to it. But he still was so easily turned against what the true beauty of Wakanda is and what it could do for the world instead of, well, what we're going to make the world do for Wakanda. I like the soundtrack of the movie.
Mm, yeah.
The percussive beat that like is going even through some of the quieter scenes, but it gives this kind of pacing to the film that always keeps you involved. There's never some big, grandiose orchestral swell without this thump that you, it's a human heart. It's when things are tense and things are picking up, the beat matches that. And probably the biggest part that I loved actually is T'Challa's sister is Shuri.
Shuri,
she, I want to be Shuri when I grow up.
Like the heart of
I love the fact that like they flashed to technology back in the 90s at the beginning of the film, and it looks like what Tony Stark is doing current day.
Yep.
And then it's like, well, let's see what somebody with bigger brains and bigger resources can do from that. And then, yeah, and she's a complete smartass, and she doesn't even let, like, I know that M'Baku kind of hits up against it, where she's like, you know, she doesn't even like our traditions. Like, well, she does, but she's also a futurist. So she wants to show how traditions can change and how we can improve things. And like the best quote is like, just because something isn't broken doesn't mean it can't be improved.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's actually the mindset of Wakanda. Like Wakanda's doing just fine. Technologically, I love the technology actually on a side tangent, like how they have this advanced technology, but it's perfectly in balance with the surroundings.
Nature and all that, yeah.
It's not imposing. It doesn't force something out of it. But then, yeah, it's still something that even their cultural mindset that like, okay, and spoiler, by the end of the film, they're like, we can do more to help the world instead of just cutting ourselves off.
Which I can't wait to see the consequences of that sort of thing, because like in the comics, we get to see it every now and then where maybe a piece of technology gets stolen or something like that.
Or Wakanda just gets fucking destroyed.
Just tidal wave?
Yeah. Thanks, Namor.
Yeah. Seriously.
But it's just like, I was every time, both times I saw the film, when I left the film, I had this, unlike other movies where it was like, yeah, it was a lot of good action. It was good. You know, I felt excited from seeing the film just because of what the film did.
Mm. Eric?
The movie was amazing. I mean, I left it understanding that it was very important, while it was not necessarily as important to myself as a colonizer.
At least you know your flaws. It's not your fault.
I knew it was important for a large group of people, and it was amazing to see something like that. And And to me, the movie was all about the women. Because they were just badass, all of them. Just when T'Challa first gets back from his mission and seeing Angela Bassett there in all her regal glory.
Queen Regent Ramonda.
Yes. It was glorious. Costumes, sets, everything was just beautiful.
And it lit black people appropriately.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny?
By a white woman who's going to be the first woman nominated for an Oscar for cinematography for Mudbound.
Really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was thinking about this on the way here, is that I feel like it did for women what Wonder Woman did for women, like it's doing for the black community. It's just one of those things where there was a guy that saw Wonder Woman and he's like, well, I didn't really get it. And I was like, well, yes, because it was written by a woman for women. And if you happen to enjoy it, then you enjoyed it. It was one of those things where it's just like, and it also shows, I guess, like the old people in Hollywood that are sitting in their offices counting their money, that, you know, letting people own their own identity on film is also profitable. It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, somebody somewhere was like, this isn't going to make any money. I'm not going to be attached to this project. And then, surprise, it's the highest grossing Marvel movie of all time.
Mm. Oh, Pat?
It was fantastic in the way that they were able to... You didn't get an origin story. You got an origin narration.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed the fact that we got through like this whole first opening segment, which was longer than most movies usually do.
Before the credits, yeah.
Yeah, the pre-credits scenes with the narration and kind of giving you that touchstone, because you've already seen Black Panther and you see how T'Challa becomes or has to become the Black Panther because T'Chaka is murdered in the explosion in Civil War. So you didn't need an origin movie?
No.
You needed an origin narration, which they did well.
Very well.
And it wasn't a superhero movie for the most part up until the final battle. And then it got a little, you know, Snyder-y crazy, which...
Lots of CG.
Oh, God.
All the CG.
Oh, my God.
But during at least daylight and not in the rain at night and with a big floaty boss.
Well, it was in the caves and the thing, but yeah.
Well, there wasn't a big horned CGI monster for them to... Oh, wait. The rhino. Yeah. I love the rhino.
The rhino was great.
Oh, my God. Awesome. When they first went to the rhino, I was like, that's adorable. I miss Echo so badly sometimes. Just because we had a giant rhino in the window that we would, you know, play with. And then when they went back to the battle and he was charging and that rhino was like, no, I like her more.
No, mama. And then
licked her face. I was like, oh my God. I let out a little squee and I clapped. But up until you got to that big battle scene, it didn't feel like a superhero movie. It kind of had that same, it kind of had the same essence as Logan. In that sense where it's really telling you a story and it's giving you all of these notes and all of these beats and all of this lore and it's still a superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the acting was fantastic. The women definitely stole the show.
Denai as a Koye. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yep.
The comment she made when they were in South Korea when she had to wear the wig, she's like, I can't wait to take this fucking thing off. And I was like, I know how many different women kind of adopt that idea about not wanting their own natural hair and everything. And it's like, I wonder if that, like you said, like it's supposed to be helping kind of give more power back to women, especially like Wonder Woman, but even black women, like to just like revel in their own selves and not try.
Absolutely. Every actress, that was a point that he had made. Every actress had natural hair. Aside from the lace front fantasy that she was feeling for, or she wasn't feeling it. We all felt it because she looked fabulous.
That one guy felt it when you hit him in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, wig is a weapon. I love it. But that was a point, and that really was, you know, you have the.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique. And your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you.
How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Different languages, whether or not they're actual specific, like you can pinpoint what it is, but you had the guy with the plates in his lip and his ear, like you had the clicking, you had all of these homages paid to African culture.
They use a South African language, I believe.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is.
It's a click and a call. Hosa?
Yeah, I can't say it.
And it was fantastic to see all of that being portrayed in a movie that is being received so well, not just by critics, but by the mass public. Because you do take these chances where, you know, as a community, as in a culture, you want to see these things, but you have old Hollywood going, we need more white men being the hero to save the day. And you're seeing things change where Wonder Woman is the highest grossing DC movie. The fact that Black Panther basically toppled Justice League's entire domestic run in a weekend.
Nice.
Is amazing. Like that is just,
it only had like a 47% drop from its opening weekend. And they said that was one of the narrowest. I think they said second week, second highest week, since Force Awakens for Black Panther.
I had some friends that tried to go see it this past weekend and they were like, every showing is sold out.
Yeah, my tickets were bought day two of online ticket sales.
Well, and it broke records for pre-sales. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fantastic. Like, when you see these things, I may not have the same response as you or BJ Oral might have, but to see these things, to just break it down logically and by numbers and go, they're breaking records here. That's amazing. That's what I want to see. As somebody that wants to see this community and this culture in the darkest timeline right now, you want to see these things help advance the populace in general.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And it really, I mean, going fourth and fifth or sixth in this conversation is tough because it's like, I want to just echo all the same sentiments, but it was a great mix of comedy, of seriousness. I do want to point out that there was one woman in our theater that won the entire fucking night for me. Ooh. And it was during the first post-credit scene, the mid-credit scene, where T'Challa is addressing the United Nations and he's giving the speech about how, and he says that there's more that binds us than divides us. And there's one woman in the theater and she, amen. And that's why I was like, yes, bitch, yes, you are my new favorite person. I love you. You have won the entire night for me. Mm-hmm. But overall, like, it's fantastic to see kids being able to see this kind of representation, see the fact that they can represent their African nature and that culture and that in dress, in just being able to feel proud of that. That's fucking amazing in this day and age right now.
You know, there was at one point I had to run out to use the restroom. And I knew, I'm like, it's fine because you're going to see it again. It's fine. And
you said you weren't going to drink anything.
Well, you know what happened. And then I went to the bar. And so I'm standing there and I'm getting a drink. And I'm about to run back in. And someone comes up to me, like this really attractive guy. He was really happy to be there in a lot of different ways. And his friend. And he says, hello, fellow king. He's like, how are you? And I'm like, isn't it a wonderful evening? And like, we had this moment where there's so often when you have a group of just, you know, out, proud, you know, black men and women or anybody of, you know, any culture that's not the, you know, established. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not sorry. People who aren't white, when they get together, you think, oh, you know, look at these, you know, Asian Americans or, you know, from, you know, Japan or, you know, China, Laos, you know, getting together and congregating and enjoying each other's company. And, you know, from the outside looking in, they're being like standoffish. They're being cliquey. They're probably quote unquote talking about you when really they're just happy to see each other and they're talking about what they're going to eat for dinner. And, you know, sometimes when you are of a demographic where that is seen as hostile, where that is seen as an issue, like he and I would have never, I would have slept with him and his friend. I want to state that for the record. May have never crossed paths. Like we weren't, you know, I wasn't this like black guy kind of like strutting down the walkway, grabbing a drink, you know, kikiing with my girlfriend. I was, you know, I was his brother. Like we were bonded in this moment, a moment that we knew took years. You know, like I wasn't alive for the quote unquote black movies where you had those like those touchstone moments. Talking about Color Purple, Coming to America, and Bear Gordy's The Last Dragon. Now,
oh no.
No, Tama.
Oh no.
No, bitch, you know. That bitch came out on Blu-ray. You know everyone snatched it up. To see, to live and experience that moment where I knew and the world knew exactly what I have been told and my mother and people in my community have tried to instill into me. And I know you too, BJ, that you descend from a line of kings. You should be proud of who you are, regardless of what society says, because there is such a wealth and a source of like treasure inside of you, and nobody can ever take that away from you. And we were invincible that night. Brian, here you go.
I love the movie. I'm not gonna, you know, everything you guys have said is all true. The Dora Milaje for me was the coolest part because mm-hmm. I have only read more recent Black Panther, and they're there, but they don't take maybe as prominent a role. I don't know. I haven't read the
World of Wakanda.
Stuff. Did they play a bigger role in that?
Yeah, World of Wakanda is Dora Milaje.
So I need to pick that up then. But seeing that badass sisterhood of warrior women, I mean, I just everything was great about that. I'm gonna screw a name up. What was Black Panther's ex's name?
Oh, Nakia.
Nakia. Again, great character. Their relationship was complex. Wasn't the stereotype as much as you would expect in a comic book movie. I think a lot of the times the tropes that you would normally find weren't here, or they were there but with more nuance, which was nice. And the score, Jeff, you mentioned the Ludwig Göransson score combined with the Kendrick Lamar songs. It absolutely flowed seamlessly together. It undercut all the moments in either a very sort of Shakespearean way. In certain key moments, the orchestras did swell up and make this very dramatic thing. But it came out of that constant rhythm and beat of some of the fight scenes and just some of the other quiet scenes. I love the tribal politics. Again, this is something where I've read some Black Panther. I actually just went back and reread Jason Aaron's Secret Invasion Black Panther series, which is only 3 issues and a lot of fun. But you don't always get that complex tribal sort of politics shown. You know, the M'Baku is a fascinating character because in the Marvel comics, he's a little problematic. Oh. Man,
yes. Yeah.
Does he look as good on the comics?
No. And he's also that was the joke is he's actually in the comic books. He was a cannibal, or like his that whole group was cannibals.
Oh, yeah.
So when he made the whole we're vegetarians, we're not. We're not
Marvel did a great job in toning down some of the comedy. There's still comedic beats like that, but they didn't go as aggressive in the comedy department as some movies. Reed, Wasp, and Ant-Man, or
like Thor Ragnarok.
Or Thor Ragnarok, certainly.
But I was going to say,
Shuri was comic relief.
She was the comedic heart of a lot of the film, and I was
What are you wearing?
What are those?
You know what I call them? Sneakers.
Oh my god!
Because you know they. Never mind.
I do think that I would rather call Killmonger an antagonist than a villain, because I don't believe that, other than offing his girlfriend very unceremoniously, I don't see him as this cold-hearted, you know, mustache twirling villain. I see him as a true like Marvel antagonist, representing a different point of view and a different agenda that conflicts with the protagonist stuff, which, you know.
Agreed. And it strikes to the heart of Wakanda's problem, because for them that to be moving towards this utopia society, but turning a blind eye to the have-nots is problematic, because what could they have done if they had stayed, you know, like in this fictional world, if Wakanda had become this bastion for African independence to push back, you know, against these imperial forces, what could this world have been? What could they have accomplished? And once they had a united continent, what could the world have been? And, you know, it is a trade-off, because then you become this imperial force.
Yes, you risk a lot doing that.
Because the thing about Africa is not a country, it's a continent. And in this continent are, you know, country after country with their own rich diversity and traditions. A more like a local version of that is the Caribbean. My mom's dad, like my grandfather, my maternal grandfather is from Barbados. My dad is from Tobago, which is different from Trinidad. You know, there's a lot of like back and forth, which is why I apparently have this great love for M'Baku. Because if there's one thing my mother and I will do is fuck up our lives for a Tobagan.
Nice.
But, you know, every island is different. It's like why, you know, Puerto Rico is different from the Dominican Republic, and the Dominican Republic is very different from Haiti, even though they're on the same island. It's why Cuba is completely separate from Guyana. Like, yeah, you have this like sort of diaspora when it comes to, you know, like the Latinx movement, where you have this like, you know, African sort of influence and roots, but each and every one of us has a sense of pride, and it's different. And where do you go? Like, what is the line that you draw in the sand where you help and you embolden, but you don't strip away what is intrinsically yours? And I think that's, you know, where a lot of these like thought pieces are coming out about, you know, me wearing dashikis. Can I find out where I am or my family has come from? Through genetic testing, we can find a percentage, but I don't know how we got there. Like, I have a friend who's Ethiopian. Like, she knows that, you know, my family is from Ethiopia. I know about my culture because, like, there is a continuity that has not been broken. You know, a lot of Caribbean people don't have that. You know, it's like when you look at someone who's Trinidadian, you're like, you know, there's Trinidadian Indian, which, you know, you have these sort of like Indian features, but you've been removed from your quote unquote motherland. Like, it's just, it's really sometimes painful to think about. It's really painful to talk about, but, you know, you see these resilient cultures sort of like try to move past that, embrace what happens. And then you have the ideal of what Wakanda is, which is like this singular, like, vision. And I was listening to NPR, and Danai, who plays Okoye, was talking about her character. And Michelle Martin asked her, like, well, why do you think that she's so fiercely protective, not to, like, one idea of, like, the king or the royal family, but Wakanda? And she says, well, like, Okoye fights for what we could have been, what we should have been, because nerds are nerds. And they want to say, well, you know, like, Black Panther isn't a movement. It's just a movie. We should let it go. It's like, this movie represents ideas that have been sort of like percolating in the community. When we talk about a sense of community, whether it be like, you know, the Asian community or the gay community or the transgender community, like, or bisexuals, because you exist, and lesbians. When you talk about those ideas, what is that about? It's about you banding together, knowing that you're stronger together because of all of these external pressures and, you know, prejudices that you have to fight. And when you stand together and help each other and then try to make the world a better place, not just for you, but people who look like you and for people who don't look like you, who don't speak the same language as you, but you know that you know, we're all part of one tribe. It's phenomenal. How could that not resonate with you? why are you unable to see past these? I'm sorry, I'm talking so much.
You're good, you're good.
I'm so sorry. Only to BJ. I'm only sorry to BJ. And then kind of Pat. And when the revolution comes, I got y'all. Y'all have been pretty good. Brian, things aren't going to be great for you. You can be a collaborator.
That's fine. I was going to say Pat'll vouch for him.
Mm-hmm. He's my plus one.
Yeah. And you only get one bitch, so make it count.
I don't know if I have enough authority to save both Eric and Jeff.
No,
I'm good.
I will say this. The theater that I saw it in, and I saw it Thursday night, was packed. Except for one seat to my right. And I'm like, well, I'm here. And my homegirls are here. Hey, Eric. Hey, Joe. And I'm like, these people are over here together. Who fucking up? And then I realized, because we're not ashamed. I know of a lot of people who said they bought multiple tickets for multiple showings. Not that they could be there, but we have to ensure that Black Panther makes money. Because the minute a black movie doesn't make money, doesn't work.
It's over.
Doesn't work. It's never going to happen. Like, Robert Townsend has been this like prolific black filmmaker for years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He still had trouble raising money for things. Spike Lee still has trouble finding funding for things because it quote unquote doesn't work. There's not like wide appeal.
Which is interesting because in the past couple of years, you've had some really prolific films. Like Moonlight won the Academy Award.
Well, you know, some chicanery tried to happen where they gave it to Moonlight.
And then you have Get Out.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, was that Jordan Peele?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you have Black Panther.
Which rumor mill is that Jordan Peele bought Twilight Zone and he wants to do.
He's hosting it or producing
it. Is he producing it?
I don't know if he's hosting it, but yeah, he's involved.
Yeah.
So that is our take. Any last statements about Black Panther?
I will have to say one of the major things that the movie did that I actually didn't expect it to do, it kind of renewed my want to see more Marvel movies. I will say this for Civil War, is Civil War did such a justice to all these new characters that they just kind of tossed in there and they're like, you know what? Let's not do an origin story. Let's just have them show up in this movie so we can get some stuff out of the way. Because like with Spider-Man Homecoming, that movie takes place like a week after the whole Civil War movie. And then you've got Black Panther, which takes place like, oh, is it a week? It's like a week or 2 weeks after Civil War. Mm. So you've got this new phase that's about to start. And Wakanda has just like this movie has just world built the MCU significantly.
Because we pivoted.
Yeah.
Also, I love going to Korea and seeing this like den of iniquity straight out of like Casino Royale.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I thought it was the same place. It looked like I was waiting for the Komodo Dragon Bridge.
I'm like, that's where I want to go. I want to gamble. Also, Wakandan Embassy, if y'all are taking like amnesty or like where do you apply, I will make my way.
I will be an extra.
I want to move to Wakanda. I am done.
Apparently, it's in Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Fuck that place. Not Chicago, though. I like Chicago. And Schaumburg. Shout out to Schaumburg. Woo-hoo.
All right. So, I think it is time. I'm pretty sure I know what most of these ratings are going to be. But it's time for flame ratings for our movie review of Black Panther. Oral.
Tens. Tens across the board.
Yes. So out of five flames, five.
Five, yes.
Five. Tens, tens, tens across the board from RuPaul. Jeff, of course, five. Eric?
Five.
BJ?
Five black flames.
Brian?
I'll give it five.
And five for me. It's a fantastic movie. Go out and see it. Support this movie.
It is an experience. Also, those of us of a darker complexion, if you have not seen this movie by now, your cards are instantly revoked. I'm looking at you, Cousin Pam. You she voiced it on Facebook. I'm like, girl, it's Tuesday. Like, your wife sigh. What you doing? Y'all know. We gave you an extension. We haven't been calling people colonizers out in public. We've been asking, have you seen it yet? Everybody understands. We are done. Go see it now or don't speak. Don't speak.
Oh, one last thing. So my first showing was regular. My second showing was in 3D. It actually is really, really good in 3D.
Is it?
And I don't normally say that for a lot of 3D films. Like, a lot of it's like a tacked on thing. This actually, especially with the special effects, like with Shuri and everything, it's really, really good in 3D.
I would have liked to have seen it in IMAX. I felt like it would have given it a bigger presence. Because honestly, the screens at the downtown theater were... It just felt small.
It also broke records for IMAX sales, but IMAX didn't release the numbers, but they were like, oh no, yeah, it totally broke records for IMAX sales as well.
I think you're right. I think I'm going to make a trip down to Port Orlando.
Get IMAX 3D.
Ooh.
Get the full experience.
Can you get some 4D? You get some rumble seats.
Oh yeah, ooh. RPX in Winter Park. They have actually, if you buy the ticket, says butt kicker. Yeah. It's a little, basically a personal subwoofer for your seat.
That's all it is. It's,
It wasn't that great for Thor Ragnarok.
Will it shake every time the Jabari cry?
A low hum. Tribes. Every time M'Baku talks.
When they start coming out and woofing.
It tickles your taint.
Mm. Ooh.
Is that why I just hands-free organ? Never mind.
M'Baku.
So, with that, thank you all for joining us. You can find us on Facebook, Flame On. We're on Twitter at Flame On Podcast. You could also find us on the Instagram, because, you know, I don't gram, but a lot of people do.
You can slide into our DMs on Instagram.
We're on Podchaser. You can leave a star rating for us. Also, we're on Stitcher. Apple Podcasts and Stitcher. You're right, BJ. Listeners, we are supported by you. We love everything about this show, and we love it when you support us. And even if you share us on social media, that does a lot. But if you do want to give us them coins, because, girl, I don't live in Wakanda. I don't even live in the Jabari land. Girl, I'm living in Orlando. And, you know, it takes a lot of money to keep all this running. It takes a lot of support. So if you go to patreon.com/nerdyshow, you can totally support us and the network. But, which is really the most important part, you can earmark dollars directly to Flame On, and we appreciate that.
In fact, our patron, St. Ron, just recently did that.
Oh, thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, girl.
We're going to just start saying Flame On brought to you by Ron. And listeners like you.
So he's the podcast sugar daddy?
Oh, totally. At this point? Cool. Yeah.
All right.
That's good. We love you, Ron. He's coming to Orlando. He might, maybe we'll see.
Get him on the show.
We'll see.
Oh, boy.
We actually should have Ron on the show.
Oh, no. We've tried a couple times, so yeah.
Don't be shy, bitch. I know you're not, I've seen half your body.
He gets busy.
I've seen all his body.
Girl, we'll talk about that.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with another full cast episode very soon.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with a very special Drag is the New Spandex that is not a recap edition.
Oh, thank God.
With a very special guest that Oral was super excited to interview. It's already in the can, so we already know.
Oh, my God. It was great.
You might want to get some tension tamer and get ready for a very lovely and delightful episode of Drag is the New Spandex coming in 2 weeks. And in 4 weeks, we'll be back with a full cast recording. March is a long month. You get 3 episodes this month, so enjoy
plus
it.
Plus the recaps
every week.
Recaps. Working in the coal mines, working downtown now. And with that, Wakanda forever.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.